Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on one frequency, 106.3 throughout the tri-state area. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk 106.3. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I'm born free.
And welcome to Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. It is Tuesday, May 18th, 2021. A very special show today, and we're going to delve into all things happening in the Maricopa County election audit with State Senator and Senate Majority Whip Sonny Borelli from Lake Havasu City. First, I have one housekeeping item. I swear, Sonny, I will keep it short, okay?
Okay, keep your house clean.
I was expecting a yo, Polly from you. That's what you always tell me. So you can do all that later. But anyway, you could get your free COVID shot at the Blue Water Resort and Casino tomorrow and again on June 9th, 9 a.m. to noon. This is a Pfizer COVID vaccination for all people 12 years and older. First come, first vaccinated, walk-in event, no appointment needed. Bring a photo ID and an insurance card if you have one. 12 to 17-year-olds must be accompanied by an adult. Again, it's at the Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker, part of our coverage area. Again, Sonny, 928-669-3142 for more information. And we'll hit on that a little bit more as the June 9th date comes up. So anyway, I'm so privileged and happy to have you on the phone and so thankful to the Senate for going into recess at 10 o'clock. So welcome to the show, Sonny. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Like I said, I'm stuck here in the state of Maricopa, the occupied territory of the state of Maricopa. Yeah, we did a prayer pledge on the floor and went into recess because we're in budget negotiations and things like that. So we had a good break in the action, so I was able to, thankful I could take this call.
All right, and we're very thankful as well. And you're going to be on the show again on June 4th with Leo Biasucci and Sam Scarmato right before the Republican Lincoln Day dinner that's on Saturday, June 5th. But anyway, let's get to this election audit. It's making national news, of course. Chairman Kelly Ward put out a statement this morning on Facebook. So we're going to get to the findings to date, what's happening a little bit later. Tell us about this big meeting, you call it a gripe session, that the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors held yesterday. And from what I heard on Arizona News Radio, a lot of choice quotes came out of it, but not a lot of real substance.
That's right. All they had was rhetoric, not results, and that's what they've always been, is no results. They never wanted to cooperate with us in the first place, even though they publicly said they're trying to cooperate. They've been doing nothing but obstruct and resist and get in the way of us trying to get to the bottom of this. I've never seen anybody fight so hard against anybody trying to prove this that they were right. Because they said that this was a fair and free election, and there was no mistakes, no anomalies, that there was no shenanigans. Well, gosh, we're trying to prove them right. We're just trying to get to the evidence. Let's follow the evidence where the evidence takes us, and if there's nothing there, guess what? No harm, no foul. This is what the constituents want, statewide and even their own county. They've totally forgot what they are supposed to do. We are a representative form of government, and they're not responding to their own constituents. under with the request. They have concerns, and everybody else, I mean, a lot of people, not just, it's not just Maricopa County. This is statewide. People have concerns. We need to investigate. We have plenary authority over the, over this issue. The county is a political subdivision of the state, and they, you know, we could delegate the authority to them to run the elections, but the overall responsibility falls on the state legislature. We said if there's anything that went wrong with this election, we need to find out what went wrong and try to fix it prospectively with future legislation, or, you know, or just completely disprove any of these crazy things like Clint Hickman says, you know, that we were accusing him of burning up ballots in his, in the fire at his chicken ranch, which is complete garbage. None of us ever said that. The whole thing is just bizarre. They've forgotten that they are a representative form of government and they need to serve their constituents and their constituents' requests and needs, and they have done none of that. It's, all they've done is resist and distract and distort what we've been trying to do. They've obstructed everything. They pushed our investigation off the premises of the county facility.
Right.
We wanted to inspect all the Dominion, all the equipment right there at the county facility. That way we made sure that the integrity of the system is intact, is the inspection is done under the same environment of what they've done when they did their inspection, the same environment when they did the, they did the election, but they've chose to push it off site, and we had to go off, we had to rent another facility to just to do the inspection of the machines and the ballots. They pushed everything away from the, what I'm calling now is just basically the crime scene. But, and then to come back and complain that, you know, we, because we're doing the audit at the, Veterans Coliseum, that we're in an unsecure area and this and that. Well, they caused all that, and the Secretary of State office had chimed in on their behalf, which is another laughable thing because she never intervened once to keep these, everything there to make sure that the integrity of the system has stayed intact and everything was done in a very fair environment. So like I said, what they've been doing yesterday was nothing more than complaining and saying that we made accusations. Well, Karen Fan sent them a letter last week and said, hey,
we found some issues
that we would like to have addressed. Yeah. Would you please meet with us next Tuesday, which is today, and we can to address these concerns? And their response was nothing more than pushback and divisiveness and it's just, it's bizarre world.
Right.
They took a very defensive posture right from the beginning, which Karen Fans is it was not an aggressive letter. It wasn't accusatory. And yet they chose to push back and make it such. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. And then, of course, they took a defensive posture yesterday and then refused to attend our meeting and they refused to cooperate the whole way. So, you know, it's not putting any confidence. They're saying we're the ones that are being divisive and we are creating all this, no confidence in the elections. Well, that no confidence in the election was before we even called for an audit.
Right.
This is the reason why we had to call for an audit to do our own inspection. So, you know, like I said, you know, what they've been saying was all garbage.
Sure.
Sonny, they said that they did an audit. They did not do an audit. The EAC does not certify companies to do audits. That's what they're relying on. They can call it an audit all they want, but you know what? You can call it a ham sandwich, but we all know it's baloney.
Sonny, I know you're really passionate on this issue, but we only have a set amount of time here. We have a guest in the second half of the hour. So we got a lot to cover. And I've always said that they need transparency here because of Adrian Fontes being the county recorder at the time of the election. Adrian Fontes, a Democrat, said no Republican of anything that matters will ever be elected on his watch. That right there is a reason to audit an election when somebody like that is in charge of the election.
Well, the county claims that he was not in charge of the elections after some of the shenanigans he pulled. They said they pulled that responsibility away from him. Fine, so long. Fine, let's prove that this was a fair and free election.
Right.
And then the other thing that they're spinning is part of that, we've been asking for the routers. We've been asking for the routers that was done at the tabulation center, the routers to, you know, the internet routers. And they're claiming that they can't give us the routers because that will compromise law enforcement sensitive data from the sheriff's office. Well, here's a problem with that statement. The law enforcement is supposed to be on a sole separate IT system because they've got to make sure they cannot get hacked because it is all law enforcement sensitive data on there, and they need to, under the agreement with the FBI, they would lose their certification for NCIC background checks for investigation. Okay. So they need to be on their own sole separate system, and they're claiming that if they give us the routers, that will compromise it and have people's even the health department personal data exposed to people, which is ridiculous because it's not what we're looking for, because a router only is going to show date and time stamps of internet traffic. Just like your phone bill, you look at your phone bill, it's got your date and time stamp of the phone calls you made and the phone numbers. And that's sure. The only data that's going to be on there. We don't care about law enforcement, and they shouldn't even be on that system in the first place. So them to say that us looking at the router is going to compromise this stuff, which is really troubling because the sheriff actually said that, and I think he's being misinformed, or his staff wrote that letter wrong or whatever. Either way, they got a bigger problem if the law enforcement, the sheriff's office is hooked up to the county elections department routers or IT system.
Right, right. Sonny, I want to give out the number. You're on a separate phone line. Sonny's on our special guest phone line. The listener line is still open at 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. I want to get to this meeting today. There was supposed to be a meeting between the two parties, between the two sides, if you will. Is that still going on at 1 o'clock, was it?
It's still scheduled for 1 o'clock. We're still going to have it. If they don't show up, they don't show up. They've made publicly a public statement that they're not going to show up. So, you know, maybe I'll just put cardboard cutouts out there for them to sit in front of. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, why not? But, right? We're still technically in a pandemic, right? That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, pandemic. Yeah, there's that issue.
Right,
But we're still going to have the meeting. It's going to be with our attorneys, and we're going to go through it. And Karen fans going to be cheering that meeting. It's not a hearing. It's just going to be a meeting, and it's all going to. And you can go on the Arizona State Legislature website, and you can watch it. It'll be live streamed because we've been trying to be transparent with this whole thing the whole time. I mean, we had a lot of questions that we were hoping that the county would come and answer these questions. We wasn't accusing them of anything, but they chose to take a defensive posture and be accusatory towards us. Well, they can call us all kinds of bad names, but at least I'm not a communist infiltrator, so just don't call me that.
Sonny, do you think, and that website, by the way, I believe is azleg.gov, correct?
Right. That's correct.
Do you think, and I've been saying this all along, that with former Secretary of State Ken Bennett in charge of this whole investigation, this whole audit, do you think his honesty kind of scares them a little bit? He's known around the state as a very honest and straight shooter.
Well, Ken Bennett, his job is to be the liaison between us and the county. They chose to put the different moniker on it, but he's running the audit. He's not. Our contractors are. He's basically like there for logistic support on handling anything that they might need and to answer some questions because the media is all over it. And of course they're spinning everything out of control and, you know, making all kinds of, they're creating stories that shouldn't be even created. They're creating this circus-like atmosphere that they're perpetrating and perpetuating. So, we're just staying the course, and the auditors, the companies that we hired, these are IT specialists. Mm-hmm. They've got security clearances that are way above what I ever had in the Marine Corps, and I have top secret security clearances. So these guys are experts in their field, and they're doing the thing. And of course, we need copies. We need the passwords to the Dominion equipment because, you know, but. That the county said they don't have those passwords. So wait a minute. If you don't have those passwords, well, who is running the election? That just means, man. Dominion is the only one. Dominion is the only one that has these passwords. So Dominion was running the election. These are the concerns that we have and questions that we've been asking.
Right.
And we want answers, but they chose not to give us answers. They just told us. They just chose to give us vitriol.
That makes absolutely no sense. That's pretzel logic right there. The definition of pretzel logic. So, all right, we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to play some Motown for you because you made the special effort to call in, and I know you love Motown. So we play the bumper music that the guest wants, and we're going to come back with the findings today. There are some shocking findings from this audit so far that I think folks are going to raise their eyebrows out there in the audience and go, what? What is going on with that Maricopa County election? All right, Sonny, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. Stay with us. We're back on Speak Out. Sonny, you kind of mixed my genres here. I thought you liked Motown, and now you're flipping me over to Dion and the Belmonts.
What's the hell yeah? Yo, Paulie! It's right music.
All right, perfect. Hey, Speak Out brought to you in part by Bradley Ford and Bradley Chevrolet, also Mojave Mortgage, GDK CPA LLC, Springberg McAndrew Financial Services, Patio Paradise, Connected Computer and Technology, Horizon Community Bank, and our newest sponsor, Arizona Krav Maga. And I believe Luca is listening. I'll have you know, Sonny, I sent out a link to quite a few people, and it was being shared on Instant Messenger. So a lot of people are listening online to this show as we speak. So there you have it. We stream live, by the way, at KNTRtalk.com. Let's get to the findings to date. I understand the server was tampered with, if you will.
Well, I don't know if it was a server. One of the election equipment, the stuff was, there was data that was been, is missing. We're not saying it was erased, it's just missing. And we're like, hey, where's this stuff at? That was one of the questions that Karen Fan had. Hey, we're finding stuff that's, the data that seems to be erased, deleted. Can you come and explain to this why this is? Well, once again, the county took a posture of defense and dig in and, you know, try to discredit. That's what you do. You shoot the messenger and try to discredit the messenger. I mean, that's what, these are all risky tactics,
right?
You know?
Sure.
You know, and then they go on the attack. I mean, they're, you know, pick a target, freeze it, polarize it, you know, personalize it, polarize it. You know, accuse you of, and that's what you do. You accuse the enemy of the stuff you're automatically doing. If that's the posture they're taking, and folks are not buying their garbage. We, like I said, we found some stuff that we're like, I have questions on. We have data that was supposed to be on the adjudication data, and it's missing. We want to know what happened to it. Is it missing? Did it, you know, did somebody reading something wrong? It's simple. These are just simple questions that we want to get answered so we can get by this thing. But, you know, it's hard to have a conversation with somebody that refuses to talk. And, you know, once again, this is a representative form of government. They're not representing their people. They're only representing themselves. They forgot that we are citizens and we're not subjects. And they're treating their own constituents like subjects. That we're the government. We know better. And you have to take our word for it or else. And that's just flat out wrong. This is what ticks people off, and this is, you know, one of the reasons why we run for office, to get through this swampy garbage, and because people are not buying it. I mean, oh, I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Trust me. Wait a minute. We know that's wrong. Once again, you know, it is what it is, and this is what we're dealing with obstructionism and resistance.
Sonny, is it important to note, I don't think this is about missing votes as much as it is about a forensic audit to actually see what happened in the counting process. Is that correct?
Correct. Well, you know, there's been accusations that this was internet hookup, and internet hookup is illegal.
Yes,
and
it is, actually.
Now, here's my concern. It's not just who wins or loses the election. If there was an internet hookup, and it's not supposed to be,
right?
Because the accusations have been made, allegations have been made that there was an internet hookup and this is how votes got switched. Well, we need to prove that or disprove that. And if that seems to be the case, this is a bigger problem, because if it's hooked up to the internet and we have foreign interference, that's a national security issue. Forget winning or losing who won the election. That's a national security issue. You have to remember, for 2 years, they accused Donald Trump of Russian collusion. Remember, Nancy Pelosi said back in 17, you know, that this election was stolen by the Russians.
Right.
Oh, but, you know, when Nancy Pelosi says it, it must be gospel. Well, you know what? We want to get to the bottom of this and make sure that it didn't happen. If it did, we need to make sure that. Now, to say that there's no way the system was hooked to the Internet and they won't allow us to even verify that, to disprove that, just proves that there's something there to hide.
All right. Take me.
Once again, like I said, it's a national security issue. If right. it's hooked to the Internet, it's a federal crime. I believe that just right now they're in CYA mode. And this is flat out wrong. We need to fix that once and for all and either prove it or disprove it and go from there.
All right.
But, Sonny, you know, like I said, that's a national security issue because, you know, we're going to have to say that even if it was hooked to the Internet and it wasn't hacked, well, wait a minute. They just hacked a pipeline for gas. And there's a letter that the county recorder sent out, the current county recorder, mm-hmm. that said that their system was hacked and voter information was obtained. No personal information other than their name and their address,
right.
and how their voter registration data was actually hacked. And that was a letter from the county recorder. So for them to say that there's no way that any of this stuff was hacked, which is ridiculous, because if there's no, it's crazy.
Hey, listen,
everything they say,
we
is
only
like,
have,
you can poke holes in.
We only have a couple minutes left, and I need to mm-hmm. ask you about the timeline now. How much time is there to get this forensic audit completed, and then how much time can we look forward to the report being released, the final, you know, the findings?
Well, right now we have a break in the action because we had to vacate the building because of the county, because the schools here in Maricopa County, mm-hmm. Phoenix area, they were already pre-scheduled to use that facility for their high school graduations. So what we're doing is basically an operational pause. They box everything up, put it in a secure location, mm-hmm. and then we'll resume that hand count after the 22nd, and then we'll go from there. So, you know, everybody wants this done fast, but, you know, we want to make sure that we get it done right, not fast. Well, so we want to make sure it's not sloppy because they're going to accuse us of all kinds of stuff, all the findings.
Right.
They've already proven that they're going to question our findings that when we do get them. So we want to make sure that this is done properly and when it's done more accurate as possible. So we're going to take our time with it and get it done. So as long as it takes.
Okay, so there's no deadline on this,
so we just got to, you know, get it done.
Who's actually preparing the report and when is that due out?
Well, that's the other thing that people don't understand. There's four different vendors on there. They're going to do their own portion of the audit. They're going to write up their findings, and then they're going to turn it over to the Senate. And it's going to be full transparency. Everybody's going to see the findings, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
So, you know, it's basically, you know, it's when you do an audit, one person does this, another person does that, and then you just kind of compare notes.
Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
You know, like I said, the left of lamestream media is coming after us hard and heavy, folks. Just stand by. Stick with us. Don't abandon us. We're in this fight for you. You know, like I said, I'm in Mojave County, so I'm in this for the fight, just for the entire state. And you know what? Like I said, if we have findings that this was hooked to the Internet, it's a national security issue, and this is the country we're talking about. It's not just about an election. It's about maybe foreign interference, or for that matter, maybe interference from the deep state operatives within our country. And that's what's scary. I served 22 years in the Marine Corps, and you know what? These are certain things that my first oath of office, my first oath is what counts, and that's the one I took when I was 18 years old when I joined the Marine Corps.
Right, to protect and serve the Constitution of the United States, correct?
Right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Just tell everybody out there, you know, look, folks, I'm not depressed. I'm actually in good mood. So if anything happens to me, I did not commit suicide. And and stick with us and don't abandon us because when the enemy's shooting at you, that means you're a threat. So when they keep shooting at us like this, that just means we're over the target and it's giving us greater resolve. So,
well, after that last statement, I think you need a good Lincoln Day dinner at this point. Hey, we'll see you.
Well, actually, I won't be there for the Lincoln Day dinner. I've already committed to months and months ago. To be a guest speaker for the Marine Corps League State Convention. So that's where I'll be that night. And I know everybody else is going to have a good time. Mark Fitchum is one of the keynote speakers along with Andy Biggs.
Right.
Great, great patriots. And they're going to really enjoy what they have to say.
Yeah, Congressman Gosar as well. But we'll see you in the studio on June 4th, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, perfect. Sonny, thanks for joining us today. We're going to go out with some more Dion, the Wanderer, just for you. How's that?
Perfect.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Take it safe down there.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, again, State Senator Sonny Borelli from Lake Havasu City and Republican Majority Whip for the State Senate. All right, Kathy DeClark is here in the studio from Faith and Grace, Inc. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoie. Stay with us on Speak Out. All right, easy on the chair dancing there, Kathy. Kathy DeClark is here from Faith and Grace, Inc. She is the president, and we're talking about a domestic violence women's shelter, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Before we get to that, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Community College, also Chagru's Family of Restaurants, Better Business Bureau, SamsGuns.com, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty, Bobby Lewis, Julie Lewis, Brian Bestley, and Lori Rule. And we're back on Speak Out. Again, I'm Paul LaVoie, and Kathy DeClark is here. I thought we might have one of your board members, but no such luck.
No such luck today.
Can I mention her?
Absolutely.
Susan Murphy. And everybody in the tri-state, well, here in Lake Havasu City and, of course, Bullhead City, Laughlin, knows who Susan Murphy is. So
yes.
No need to make any introductions there. But you brought a lot of statistics in as related to domestic violence, correct? And these are pandemic statistics.
Yes, they're actual statistics from 2018 and the most current into 2020. And I wanted to tell you a little bit. I've spoken about the domestic violence safe house and how people get there. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to just let people know what we've been doing. We've had our strategic plan set in motion in 2019 for the next 3 years. We've almost accomplished everything that we set out to do. So we'll be doing another 3 to 5 year plan.
Sounds like you have a very active board.
We have a wonderful board. They're very active, very hands-on.
Especially to create a strategic plan like that.
It was a lot of work.
Oh, and, sure
and,
it was.
And they accomplished almost everything. Yeah.
Okay. Tell us, did you want to get to the statistics or did you want to delve into that plan a little bit?
Well, our plan was to continue our fundraising. We're totally community-based fundraising. We don't take any tax dollars. We don't take federal money or state money. We've been just blessed with the people in Lake Havasu, and our snowbirds have supported us going into our third year. Over the last 2 years, as we've grown, we've had we count bed nights, similar to a hospital.
Okay.
So we've had 1,421 bed nights in 2019.
So one person stays the night, or two people stay the night. Does that count for two bed nights?
It counts for two, yeah.
Like
for
a mother
person.
And child.
Yes.
Okay.
The average length of stay right now is about 54 days. And
For that one party?
For, yeah.
Which could be two, how many people?
Well, it could be, right now I have a mother with three children.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Some, you know, so it varies the number of children.
Sure. And that's an undisclosed location, of course.
That's right. We try to keep things confidential to protect the women and the children at the safe house. The average age of the women that are there is 36 years old.
Are we talking about women who are also employed? So they would have to go to a job at the same time their kids either go to school or stay at the safe house?
Yes, some of them are employed.
Wow.
And they continue their employment.
Such a complicated process, isn't it?
There's a lot of parts to getting their case management plan together. It's we want to find out where they want to be. We want to give them the opportunity to make some decisions for themselves, and we have suggestions along the way, of course, and we have advocates that go with them to court that help them at DES, get them signed up at food banks if those things are necessary.
So the advocates are heavily involved.
They're very
involved. Are they volunteers?
Some are volunteers. Part of our strategic plan was to hire advocates. Mm-hmm. So we have both. And we're always looking for volunteers.
What does it take to be an advocate?
Well,
background check?
Of course. Everybody that volunteers gets a background check.
Right.
And we do a drug test on everyone.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there a minimum age involved? Is there somebody that you would prefer as an advocate that would kind of move to the front of the line, if you will, if you had a waiting list?
Well, no. Well, I'd love to have a waiting list.
Well, you never know after this program.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sure.
Once they sign on and see what are the goals for the residents. We want them to have a 40-hour class. Arizona Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence has a class, and we follow most of their guidelines and do the procedures and policies according to their laying them out. So they need to learn that. They need to shadow someone that's done it in the past.
How long is that period, the shadowing?
It varies anywhere from a couple months to maybe 4 months. It depends on the person, how comfortable they are.
Right.
Sometimes they're not as comfortable as they thought.
Interesting. And there's a comfortability factor with the victims as well, correct? I don't want to call it.
With the survivors.
The survivors.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the key word there. With the survivor and the advocate.
Yes. And, you know, you want them to click.
Okay.
And we'll help them all along the way. We'll give them not a handout, but a hand up. We want them to succeed. We want to treat them with respect so they can regain their own self-confidence and self-worth.
Sure. And with an average stay of 54 days, that process kind of moves along, it sounds like, because the first week has to be a, wow, I'm away from him or I'm away from her. I'm away from that bad situation. My kids are away from that situation. Now it's time to rebuild. And to do that within 2 months is, that's quite a feat.
It is. That's the first week you hit the nail on the head really is just relaxing, letting go, trying to figure out.
Decompress. Yeah.
Exactly. And, then our case management, we meet with them every Monday. Set their goals for that week, counseling for them, their children, if they need medical appointments, dental appointments for the children, things like that. So they can do baby steps to get ready.
Interesting.
Financial literacy is really important. Helping them to understand how to budget when they get a job, how to save.
Yeah, because a lot of these people have come out of a very controlling situation where they may not have even been allowed to have money.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And some have never had their own credit.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. That's like literally starting over right there.
Yes.
So, tell me about what's the most urgent need for women and children in that situation or when they're at Faith and Grace, Inc.?
Well, the most urgent need in Arizona, housing continues to be the most urgent need of the survivors. I'd say probably 40% of the women that want to leave fear they'll have nowhere to go. And that's in the whole United States. Mm-hmm. So we fit a need
in
our community.
Yes.
We're the only ones that do that right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So there's there's 7,500 requests that go unmet for housing and resources every year. There's a lot of need for the housing.
So what do they do? They obviously can't stay at the safe house forever. What do they do? Are they forced back into the old situation? That's like not going to happen, in my opinion. So do they have to depend on family, friends? What happens?
Well, that's the challenge.
Okay.
We're fortunate that we have a transitional house where they can go once they're working. Mm. It's subsidized housing, and they pay a nominal amount of money, and it's like practicing for their own apartment.
That makes sense.
And since they've gone through the financial literacy class, we hope that they will choose, I don't know, 50% of what they make and put it in a savings. Mm-hmm. And they can stay there for up to a year.
Oh, wonderful.
So that helps a lot because it does take a while to get the money for right. their housing, to find housing that's affordable. And that's a right. challenge, right?
And folks out there, I don't know if you've tried getting around Havasu without a car.
Absolutely.
There's a challenge right there.
Yes.
So, and now finally with some public transit coming online, within the next couple of months, hopefully that'll help with that challenge. But, yeah, it's a pretty spread out city.
Yes. And that has been a challenge. It is difficult for them to get, their children to school or to get a job. Mm-hmm. However, many of them have a vehicle. We've been fortunate. We work with some people in the community that have donated vehicles. Mm-hmm. And we have a mechanic in town that's kind enough to help us with the mechanics of the vehicles that he fixes. And there's a used car person in town that asked not to be identified, but has vehicles that he'll call that perhaps going to auction and just need some minor repairs, and he will donate those as well.
So you, before we went on, we talked about, you wanted to talk about the lethality of domestic violence. What do you mean by the lethality of domestic violence?
Well, in the prevalence is 1 in 4 women will experience domestic violence in their lifetime.
25%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In 2019, 46% of the women experienced physical, sexual violence, or stalking. And Sheriff Schuster shared his 2020 statistics with us in Mojave County. He had 312 domestic violence calls. Mm-hmm. 425 domestic violence calls were for verbal abuse. 304 were violent assaults.
Physical abuse.
Physical
right.
abuse again. A total of 1,041 violent calls.
Wow.
Yeah.
In what time frame was that?
January to December 2020.
Wow.
During COVID.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people were locked down in quarantine, if you will, or maybe lost their jobs. There's that financial stress there, too.
Yes, yes. And so it was elevated because of that. There were, in 2018, there were 75 people killed in domestic violence homicides in Arizona.
And statewide. Okay.
Statewide. There were 4 homicides in Lake Havasu.
My goodness.
In 2018.
Right.
In 2008, going back 10
years. That's 10 years, right.
10 years back from the last statistic, there were 126 deaths. So I attribute the fact that there's, quote, only 75, to education, letting people know they don't have to stay in that situation. Encouraging friends to tell friends, you know. And so that's a good direction to be going in. And hopefully, you know, it continues to go down. Sheriff Schuster told us that the presence of a gun in the home increases the risk of homicide by 500%.
Oh, my word. Wow.
So the lethality is frightening.
Yeah, it really is.
And our police officers and sheriff put themselves at risk each time they go out.
So this is your third time on Speak Out, I believe, since I've been back.
Yes.
In a year. And you started this about a year ago, is that correct?
We opened 2019, January 10th.
January 10th, 2019. Okay, so you had Okay, perfect. So you had already been doing this about a year when you came on the show. So we're looking at a little over 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Is this everything you thought it would be? Is it a bigger challenge? What is your takeaway from all this after about 2 years, 4 months?
Well, it is a challenge, and you've identified some of them. Finding opportunities for the women to move forward. A lot of them are financial barriers. There's a lot of legal issues, from the orders of protection to divorce to immigration, whatever.
Sure.
So it's a very tedious paperwork trail.
But now you're getting back to life after the pandemic. Things will finally return to normal here pretty soon. I say normal for us anyway. What it was probably like in 2019 for you when you first mm-hmm. opened the Safe House. Was that an unexpected expense with the pandemic and all that? With the, you know, your PPE, wiping things down? There had to be some expenses involved with that.
Yes. Of course, we had, and the coalition had guidelines for the safe houses. Yes. So all of the PPEs, wiping down, the planning for going out if they had to go out. We were locked down twice, two different times. Someone had been exposed. We stayed locked down total of 4 weeks, two different times, 2 weeks at a time, and never had any positive tests. So the recommendations were that people had their masks on in the house, that we went out and bought all paper and plastic products so we weren't washing dishes. Mm-hmm. They had different hours. They rotated in the kitchen. A lot of common sense, but following all the procedures exactly.
How many people can you take in the house at once?
Depending upon the number of children. Mm-hmm. We have four bedrooms. They have two bunk beds each room.
Okay.
So I can take 12.
Wow, that's a fairly high number. That's a lot more than I thought.
It's a lot of people.
Yes,
it is. It's a lot of people.
You have, you know, four bedrooms, four different lives, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah, that is a lot of people. So what is your biggest need right now? And I want to give out the number, 928-302-1358. And we're talking to Kathy DeClark. She's the president of Faith and Grace, Inc., a domestic violence organization with a safe house. Mm-hmm. What is your biggest need right now?
Our biggest need are really consumables. We go through an awful lot of large trash bags in the kitchen. It's amazing how many trash bags
you can
use with that many people.
Yeah.
Paper towels, things like that.
Toilet paper?
Toilet paper, of course. We've talked about someone donating their old barbecue. And, you know, that would be nice to have. It's not a need. That's a nice thing.
There's a lot of old barbecues out there. A lot of people go, oh, yeah, I want a new barbecue. And then what do they do with the old one?
Yeah.
Right? Put it on the curb, free to a good home.
Yeah.
So, are anything you want to add, Kathy, before we go?
Well, I just want to thank our entire community for supporting us for these almost 2.5 years, because without their donations, we would not be able to survive. And we've maintained all our expenses. We've never had to not pay everything that we have.
Again, if you want to help either as a volunteer or an advocate, or you want to donate, it's 928-302-1358. Kathy, thanks for joining us again.
Certainly my pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
We'll get you in the next 3 to 6 months for another update.
That'll be great.
Perfect. Back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to Speak Out. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. Great show today. Thank you again to State Senator Sonny Borelli for being on the program, as well as Kathy DeClark from Faith and Grace, Inc. On tomorrow's show, the long-awaited Real Estate Power Hour, of course, with Chad Hansen from Mojave Mortgage and Bobby from the Lewis team at Coldwell Banker Realty. Of course, Bobby Lewis getting distracted over here off the air. So anyway, until tomorrow, I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Hannity is up next, preceded by Fox News.